Susan Laurie Parks, you're having a great year. You have a show upcoming on Broadway. You have a successful show on the road as a musical with Porgy and Bess. And, of course, you were here recently in Buffalo talking about writing and about your play, Top Dog, Underdog. Things look good.
It's very exciting. I didn't plan all these things happening at the same time, but they are happening at the same time. It's very exciting.
Interesting thing about Porgy and Bess is the people who put the show together didn't exactly look like you.
Oh, you mean the Gershwins? I thought, who are they? Oh, the Gershwins and the Haywards and all the wonderful people who did the original, who wrote the book, and the libretto, and the novel and the play, and then the libretto and the music. No, they were not, as far as I know, although you never know, they were not of African descent. They were wonderful people who were enchanted by these fictitious characters and wanted to make a folk opera, and they did a wonderful job.
As a proven playwright of African descent, do you look differently at material like that?
I look at it like an architect would look at a building. You know, I was along with Diane Paulus and Deidre Murray, we were invited in to make a Broadway musical from this world-renowned, brilliant opera, and which means it would have, it would run about 2.5 hours, it would have an act break, things like that, things like that Broadway musicals tend to have. And so I looked at the book as an architect would look at a building, So I wasn't looking at it in a certain way because it was written by people of a certain ethnic group. I was looking at it like an architect would look at a building, as a dramaturg would look at a piece of drama.
It traditionally runs a little long.
It does. It traditionally runs a little long. And it's opera, they're huge, they're enormous, people love them, they go on forever. And Broadway musicals traditionally are not so long. And so one of our charges was, what do we not need, And so there were some things that we felt, in our telling of it, which the Gershwins, by the way, the Gershwin Estate, the folks of the Gershwin Estate who are, keepers of the torch, of course, they love our version and have said to me on many occasions that they just are so pleased with the work we've done. But we looked at it and said, no, what don't we need? And one of the things, for example, is in our production of Porgy and Bess, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, as it's called, you won't see the enormous chorus, of 50 folks, singing. You won't see any children, So we thought, we can, let's just streamline the plot. Let's make it very specific to the story of Porgy and Bess. And you will see the very first couple of runs of the show up at American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, run by Diane Paulus. We actually had a child, baby, one of the children of one of the actresses. The actress was playing Mariah. Her name was Natasha. And she had just had twins. And we had Summertime, which is sung to a child. We had her, we switched out her kids. We had her daughter one night and her son the next night in the show. So we actually had kids. But in the production you'll see now, we don't have the children. We've edited out the children in the story. We've edited out the huge, enormous chorus.
You're probably best known in your own right for Top Dog, Underdog, which is a two-character play about two brothers who are lower socioeconomic class. That's very different from Porgy and Bess.
It is different from Porgy and Bess. Top Dog, Underdog is not a musical. It wasn't originally written by someone else. It's very different. When Diane Paulus, the director, called me up to work on it, I had experience doing adaptation. I did an adaptation of Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Are Watching God for television. It was a film, actually, starring Halle Berry, Oprah Winfrey Presents. Ran on TV several years ago. And I had also done a musical called, several plays of mine have music in them, but I'd done musicals, among them the Ray Charles musical called Unchain My Heart, which it's on its way to Broadway. So I'd done music. I'd had experience doing musicals, and I had experience doing adaptations. So, I had some qualifications in both areas. And Pulitzer helps. So the phone to ring a little bit more. I was very pleased to be invited on that project.
One of the things about Top Dog Underdog, in a sense, it brings up the old Mark Twain issue from Huckleberry Finn and the dialects, and a lot of people are very down on dialogues and branches of the English language. Did you have any trouble because you wrote this show in an urban dialect?
Right. You mean Top Dog Underdog?
Yeah.
It's funny, I don't really see it as in an urban dialect. I think that, as we did with Porgy and Bess, the actors come to the piece, the individual actors from production to production are invited into the piece and are going to, with the help of a dialect coach, shape and mold the way that they are going to shape and mold the words for their individual presentations. So I didn't write it in a certain kind of urban dialect. I mean, anybody who knows anything about dialect knows that for every neighborhood in, you know, Buffalo, there's a slightly different way of, you know, working with the English language. For every neighborhood in New York State, can you imagine? And then you get into New York City, and that's a whole nother kettle of fish. So dialects are very specific, and I didn't write Top Dog Underdog in a dialect. I wrote it in the way that the men in Top Dog Underdog speak is really an expression of who they are and what they're feeling, more than a particular dialect, I would say.
You have an interesting history of bouncing around in literature. You're not solely a playwright or solely a novelist or solely a librettist for a musical. That's not common, but you seem to thrive at it.
Oh, thank you. That's kind. I enjoy all kinds of writing, you know. So when people, I mean, I'm best known for, as you said, Top Dog Underdog, but I love writing novels. I loved writing Getting Mother's Body, which Random House published a couple years ago. I'm working on my second novel right now and totally enjoying it. I loved working on Porgy and Bess. We're working on Father Comes Home from the Wars right now, which is my new play. It's a play, you know, a 10-character play with songs that I've written for the play. I'm having a great time. I just love writing, you know, and also I love music, so I put them together and I'm very, very happy.
Question writers always get asked, did you grow up in a literary family or spend all your time as a kid at the library or something like that?
Yes, my father was in the Army. My mother's a professor. My father was in the Army, and when he retired from the Army, he got his PhD, so they were both professors at one time, but we moved around a whole lot, lived in Germany, moved around a whole lot, but everywhere we went had a library, and you could bet that little Susan Laurie was in the library. That is, I tell you, even now when I go to the library, any library, I feel at home.
An Army brat all the way.
Yes, at home in a library, strangely enough, yeah.
Does that affect your work in any way that you did wander so much?
That's a great question. I don't know. You know, Sam Shepard was also, I think his father was in the Air Force, a wanderer. He and I have talked about this, you know, and like comparing notes, what it was like. It was very different for his family. But I think it makes, for me, it made me open to lots of different kinds of people, open and accepting. And my parents were really big on that. When we were in Germany, we lived in Germany, they sent me to a German school where there were no American kids. There were only German kids, and we spoke German. So they were always, you know, encouraging us to be accepting of different kinds of people and different ways of being, you know. Sometimes we were the only black kids in the school. Sometimes we were the only black people in the whole town, you know. And you had to be accepting of them, hoping they'd be accepting of you. And it wasn't always easy, but I really, really appreciate having grown up that way. It makes your mind really wide.
At the same time, speaking German, knowing another language, does it affect the way you write English?
Well, I think so. Yeah. I have fun with the English language. Oh, I have a lot of fun. Definitely.
Because certainly German literature, I mean, it's a long way from the Meistersinger von Nuremberg to Faust.
Right, right. But, I mean, did Mark Twain, maybe I'm misquoting, this is horrible, making things up, didn't he say that English is German backwards, or German is English backwards. You know, so it's funny to me that I would, because German sounds like English backwards, doesn't it?
I've forgotten all of my German, so I'm not sure, except the verbs are at the end of the sentences.
The verbs are at the end of the sentences, yeah. But I think it's just, I have a lot of fun with the English language. And that, I think, I just play with it a lot and use it to help me, you know, find my characters, which are the most important thing, I think, for me, characters.
Thank you, Susan Laurie Parks.
Thank you, Michael. It was great talking with you.